But right now, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a show host there in Birmingham on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug Segrist joining us at this point. Doug, hope you're having a good Tuesday. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Bofar. Good to be back.
All right, so we start with what transpired on Saturday afternoon, and boy, it just seems like we go back to last year in the Alabama-Tennessee game, and Tua Tagovailoa goes down with a high ankle sprain, and you know, when we watch the opening kickoff with Jaylen Waddle, and you know, I'm really surprised when we watch how that play developed, how that we don't see that happen more often as far as in college football or football for that matter in general. It just seems like all the time you're seeing legs rolled up on, and I knew as soon as he was being brought down that that was not going to be good.
Yeah, it's amazing it doesn't happen because, you know, a lot of these athletes are just, you know, they're so fast, they're so lean, and the speed of the game is such now that you're just more prone to injuries in the open field like that. And, no, this wasn't good, and you know, you're already hearing naysayers saying this kind of knocks Alabama out of the national title race. Not that they can't go regular season undefeated, but once you face Georgia again, because he was a difference maker. He's the guy who kind of helped them blow out Georgia in the second half. And then when they go and face defenses like Clemson and ostensibly Ohio State, that they're not going to have the extra playmaker they need. I still don't think this is as devastating as the Tua injury. I think everybody would agree with that. You know, that just really set Alabama back. You know, it took a couple weeks for Mac Jones really to get going. He's obviously a different quarterback this year. But I do think this is kind of a reset moment for him. You know, next man up. But while they've got plenty of talent, they just, you know, I mean, this guy is a once-in-a-decade playmaker.
You know, with that said, though, you know, we've seen this in recent years. I mean, remember Derrick Henry, his final year, where he took over the offense because, when we think about the weapons the Crimson Tide have now, you know, not as much then, and you saw Derrick Henry just take over. You know, they do have somebody by the name of Najee Harris back there, and who right now is on pace to knock King Henry off the pedestal to become the all-time leading rusher in Alabama history. So it's not like the cover is bare. And you also saw, you know, with Bolton stepping up his game on Saturday, Menzie as well. I mean, so Alabama's is still not hurting with some depth of weapons there.
Well, when you can compare it, I mean, you know, I follow Auburn every week just as well, and they would kill to have just one of extra Alabama's playmakers. They basically got one playmaker. Well, two, now the Tank Bigsby's emerging, but not the depth Alabama has. And that's true. They have not been able to run the ball at will this year. They haven't really needed to. They have been able to close out the last two games on the ground. Najee Harris is a top-flight NFL prospect. Brian Robinson is now starting to emerge in that regard. They've got Trey Sanders. And again, let's not forget, Devontae Smith is a first-round NFL draft pick who came back for an extra year to improve his status from maybe late round to early round. So, you know, they've got a big threat there. John Metchie is really becoming a go-to guy on the edge. Slade Bolden hadn't caught a pass all year and then goes 6 for 94. So, I mean, the guy can play. So they've got a lot more weapons. But when you're talking about a championship game against the likes of a defense they haven't faced, that's reason for legitimate concern.
You know, one of the things, too, that so far, I mean, I look at the second half against Georgia and I watch how the Bama defense performed against Tennessee, and you can make the argument that slowly but surely the Alabama defense getting better. One of the parts that has not improved is their ability to get to opposing teams' quarterbacks.
They're getting pressure. If you look at the actual pressure stats are pretty good. They're getting hands up, but they're not taking the quarterback down, and that is the biggest reason for concern. But I think they've amped it up. I think they have the fundamentals have improved a lot. And to me, that goes back to knowing what you're doing. And I don't know if they've simplified the defense or if it's just kind of clicked in. But, yeah, the last six quarters, they've been phenomenal. And if you really look at it, it was six quarters leading up to that, they were abysmal. Ole Miss in the first half of Georgia. You go back to Missouri and Texas A&M, both of which have fairly explosive offenses at times. They were in control of those games pretty much throughout and really didn't give up much until, you know, they emptied the bench. So they've got six bad quarters, and because of that, we've kind of written everything off. Now, I'm not saying this is a 2011 defense, but they've got a lot of people. They've got one of the best cornerback combos. They're starting to get that push up front. They've improved against the run. I think they're going to get better. Now, how good will they get? That's to be determined.
The Florida Gators, at this point, scheduled to take on Missouri coming up on Saturday night. It'll be their first game in 3 weeks. A Florida team, you know, last time out, they played on October 10th at College Station, losing to Texas A&M. And, I mean, this month has been very hard on that Florida football team. They had to shut down for 2 weeks, 37 positive tests as far as COVID-19, had six more last week. How do you feel like this will impact this Florida team? Missouri, you know, to me, one of the surprises as far as 2020, just how feisty they are and how much fight that they have. You know, they're now 2-2 on the season, and I like what Coach Drinkwith is doing, the first-year head coach out of Appalachian State, who's, you know, took over the Missouri program. This could be an interesting night for Missouri. I see them with every potential possible to be able to go into Gainesville and get a win on Saturday night.
No, I totally agree. And we really don't know who's impacted on the Florida roster because, you know, Dan Mullins hasn't been the most forthcoming on that. We don't know if it's two quarterbacks, if it's four offensive linemen, if it's three of your top six defensive linemen. So we don't know who has gotten sick. We don't.
And you have to be careful. And look, because of HIPAA laws, you have to be careful and understand that.
Right.
And so not every – I mean, sometimes we get – I know it's confusing for fans because, you know, for example, we know that the Wisconsin starting quarterback is going to be out now for 3 weeks as he's tested positive for COVID-19.
And his backup.
And then you got one of the other quarterbacks is out with, a leg injury, foot injury. So – but some programs, you know, and it's up to the individual athlete to be able to make that, you know, to decide whether or not he wants that out there. But, you know, knowing that he was only missed one attempt on Friday night and that win against Illinois, it'd be kind of strange if all of a sudden you look out and he's not there and you don't know why.
Right, right. And that's the point with Florida. We don't know who's been impacted by this. We also know that they basically missed what would have been a normal off week of practice. And that's huge, particularly when you miss spring. You had a very different preseason camp. You know, again, I go back and say loss of spring football was huge across the board, but especially for a couple programs. Florida, it may not have impacted them as much because they've got a lot of attorneys, but to miss pretty much a full week during the regular season is tough. Now we saw the Titans overcome that, and they actually look crisp in their first game back. I just think this puts Florida at a big disadvantage.
The Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn, not once, twice this year, very fortunate to get W's. I go back to the Arkansas game where if there was any video at all showing an Arkansas player recovering the bad snap and the, you know, here's Knicks trying to down the ball to give themselves a chance to kick the game-winning field goal. The only reason Arkansas wasn't given the ball was because there was no video showing an Arkansas player actually recovering the football. And then we get what happened in the fourth quarter on Saturday in the Auburn win against Ole Miss with just under 6 minutes to go. All indications as far as in slow motion watching the replay, here's Auburn's punt return. It looks like his pinky tips the ball. They never stopped to look at a better angle, you know, the slow motion replay. And so the SEC made sent out a statement last night, a little good it does. And, oh, by the way, they end up fining Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss, $25,000 for his use of social media after the game, which is in violation of one of the SEC bylaws.
Listen, he knew what he was doing and knew he was probably going to get in trouble, and I understand his frustration. He should be frustrated. He should have also called a timeout to ensure they got a better review of that. And don't forget, listen, Auburn has been the golden child this year because the Kentucky game is a two-point game at the end of the first half, and there's a question whether or not Kentucky scores. It's
and that was it looked like a touchdown. It still is a touchdown in my eyes. So that's right, three games there that easily could have been losses for Auburn.
And every Auburn game has come down the wire. I mean, they could be 0-5.
They could be 0-5. They could be. Think about that for a second. They could be 0-5 right now.
Which just shows, I think right now they're a very average team. Now, I think their ceiling is higher. I think they discovered a running game. I think the passing game is starting to click a little better, but it's better when they're not throwing the ball all over the field and they've got some balance and Bo Nix isn't having to carry everything. And I think that's part of the problem they had in the Georgia loss and even in the Arkansas win is that he really had to, or the Arkansas game was that he had to do too much. And I think he's starting to look comfortable. They're starting to make progress. I think defensively, it's not just what we expect from an Auburn defense. They're not bad, but they're certainly not of the caliber we're used to seeing, and that leaves little room for error. So every game is going down to the wire. I see an LSU team that is making drastic improvement week by week, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pull this out by 7-10 points.
Yeah, LSU, by the way, they started the year with that ugly loss to Mississippi State where all of a sudden everybody was looking at one point or another, when's Mississippi State showing up on the schedule? But, you know, T.J. Finley, a freshman QB, got the saw the most of the action on Saturday in that game against South Carolina, and a huge 28-point win for LSU. So their record now evened up at 2-2. But here's Finley, 17-21, a couple of touchdown passes. It looks like they're getting their running game together too with Tyrion Davis Price, 135 yards on the ground. And, oh, by the way, Battle of the Tigers coming up on Saturday afternoon down on the Plains as LSU travels to take on the Auburn Tigers. LSU, it seems like they're getting their act together at the right time.
Yeah, and this is just a huge game. It's the perfect CBS window. Again, I think LSU's ceiling is higher than Auburn. So I think Auburn has the potential to be a good team, maybe fringe top 25, but this isn't a championship level team. I think LSU's biggest problem is inexperience, but the roster is just really dotted with a lot of 4 and 5 stars, and I think you're starting to see that even defensively, they've made major improvements. They're by no means a great defense at this point, but you've seen them kind of scale back a little. The players understand it better. They're making open field tackles. And, you know, I see a program that's improved a lot just in 3 week period.
You know, it's really strange. I look at the AP top 25 this week. 9 different conferences, 1 independent representative as far as the 25 teams. The Big Ten has the most with 5, SEC, ACC, Big 12, all with 4 apiece. But we're talking about the American Athletic Conference, Conference USA, Sun Belt, Mountain West, all represented as far as in the top 25 this week. And it, you know, here's the thing, you know, the 4 SEC teams are all ranked in the top 10, but that's it. And then only 2 teams, Auburn and Arkansas, getting votes. So this right now, only 6 teams either ranked or getting votes of the 14 teams in the SEC.
And listen, the SEC is deep. It's not like the bottom of the league is falling off. You don't have a chance to go out and get a break and play somebody that's maybe not on your level and add an extra win. So you're looking at a 2-3 team that could easily be 6-3 with a normal non-conference schedule and be at least on the periphery of the rankings, and now they're just kind of lost in the shuffle. I would hate to be a voter this year, because how do you really evaluate from league to league? I mean, it has to be eye test, and you're counting on 2 or 3 teams per league to emerge and just dominate everybody.
And it's a shame, too, because like BYU this week, they're ranked 11th. I've seen BYU play, and I would love the opportunity to see them go up against some Power 5 conference teams, and not the bottom of the barrel Power 5 either. I think that just from a standpoint of along the line, I mean, I really think that this team could compete, but we'll never know.
Well, here's what's sad. Had they been able to play their original schedule, you would be able to measure pretty fairly, I think, because their original schedule was full of Power 5 teams and name brand institutions. And had they gotten off the same start, there would be no question where they stood. You know, and now they're playing whoever they can. They've been very dominant. I mean, they just obliterated a Troy program that, you know, that may not resonate in Provo, but it's a pretty good football program. And, you know, I can't remember the last time Troy was dominated like BYU did.
And you got a Cincinnati team from the American Athletic Conference. They're 7th this week. You've got a Marshall and Coastal Carolina, mm-hmm. both ranked in the top 20. Do they deserve that? You know, my gut tells me no. But, you know, when you think about if you're trying to rank the teams in the top 25, who are you going to put in there? Are you going to include anybody else from the Pac-12 other than Oregon and USC? At this point, no. I mean, is Marshall and Coastal Carolina that good? You know, my guess is no. But, you know, who else are you going to put in? You can't put a 1-3 Mississippi State team or a 1-4 Ole Miss or, or even an Auburn and Arkansas team for that matter, because their records aren't good enough at this point.
And very few of them have a chance to really prove it against out of conference competition. Louisiana got a big break by winning their opener against a Power 5 team, and it paid off. And, I think they're very underrated. They're no longer in the top 25, but they really don't have a chance to prove it again. And name brand recognition is going to carry the day this year.
And I mean, look, you know, we see Virginia Tech, a Minnesota team, drop out of the top 25 this week. And Virginia Tech is just one of those programs, unfortunately, they, you know, week in and week out, they have been hit very hard as far as COVID-19 is concerned. And Minnesota, I mean, yeah, they played one game. They're 0-1. They get beat by Michigan, and I understand it was an ugly loss. But is Minnesota still, to me, one of the top 25 teams in the country? Absolutely.
I agree talent-wise they probably are. I think if you're judging on what you've done on the field, it would be almost impossible to keep them in at this point. They can be back in 2 weeks, but they're going to have to be impressive.
Yeah, I'm surprised Rutgers didn't make the top 25 this week.
I am, too. And keep watching that story, because, he's done it there before, Shiano. And, they have put a lot into this program during the offseason. I think they're finally going to be respectable on a regular basis in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and it brings up the thing, too, and you're seeing it, in fact, this week, is like, what could have been with the Tennessee football program if he was the head coach with the Tennessee Vols?
Well, I look at this Tennessee football program, and, you know, have they closed the gap against Alabama? No. Have they closed against Georgia and Florida? No. And I closed the gap. I see a much better did 3 years ago. I see a defense that's more fundamentally sound. I see an offense that can do more. However, there are limits on the edge. There are limits at quarterback, and you're only going to solve that by recruiting. But I do see this as a better program than it was when he took over.
I will say this. You know, they right now still holding on. They're ranked number 10 as far as their recruiting class, Tennessee is, as far as the 2021 recruiting class. But with that said, you know, I think the natives are getting restless. And, you know, as far as that faith that they've got the right guy, I think there's a growing part of that fan base that wonders if they do have the right guy.
Well, and you start to feel, are we jinxed? I think Tennessee fans have been as patient as anybody. But that patience only goes so far. And, you know, you've got a Hall of Famer back as AD, and you expect the decisions to be good, and you expect improvement to be made. And just from a one-loss standpoint, we're not seeing it.
Well, and you think about Nebraska, Florida State, Tennessee, you know, outstanding traditions with all three of these schools, but at some point or another, you begin to wonder, are we ever going to get it back?
Well, and two of those three have a big recruiting disadvantage. You know, Nebraska is playing in a different footprint now, away from where they used to recruit. The talent throughout Tennessee is good, but not on the level of Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, Alabama. And, you know, those are disadvantages. 20 years ago, you could make up for it because you didn't necessarily have the consistency from some of the teams you're playing against. And now everybody's recruiting on an elite level and everybody's coaching on an elite level, and it's just much tougher now.
Doug, always a pleasure. Looking forward to visiting with you again on Saturday with our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show. But until then, I hope you have a wonderful week. And if you're not doing so already, you can follow Doug on Twitter at DSegras. Once again, co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340 and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. But, Doug, have a great Tuesday night. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. Take care.